Hello, it is Feel Good Friday, October 9th, 2020, massive day. Adam Thielen, what? TJ Watt, what? Tom Pelissero, what? His last name isn't what, but we were just talking about how many guests we have and how many conversations we have. What happened last night to Tampa Bay Gronkaneers? Talk about that, plus preview of the weekend, everything else going on in the world. We appreciate you so much for taking time and letting us penetrate your ear holes. If you like this show today, be a friend, tell a friend. If you don't like this show, just act like it never happened. Hey, Ty Schmidt, let's get into this thing, shall we? In the world of the NFL, obviously COVID has found another target in the New York Jets organization, which we're not 100% sure what's going to happen there. The Patriots game has been moved to Monday at 5 p.m. And I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, the two people that will be calling that game on Monday at 5 p.m. are Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler. Yeah. Yep. So we have a 5 p.m. Monday Night Football game, then obviously the regular program Monday Night Football game after that. I like that a lot more than pushing the game back until 1 a.m. I assume they made the adjustment after last week and said this is what we should do instead. 5 p.m. football, baby. I've been all about it. Yeah. I've been asking for weekday afternoon football for a long time. You see the Olympics, you watch it all damn day.
Hell yeah.
WWE has a middle of the day pay-per-view because they're over in Middle East. I watched the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
People watching at home. The World Cup, we watch that thing all day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've always said, I feel like daytime during the workday, which is where we are, by the way. Congrats to us. Shout out to us being here and kind of taking our own tips and opinions here to heart. I feel like during the day, people are more apt to watch some stuff. 5 o'clock, I think their numbers are going to be large. I think this is going to be big numbers because that is much better than having it start or end at 1 a.m., which I would assume some olds and even some younger olds can't make it that far and watch the entire evening. So shout out to the NFL still trying to make things happen. What will happen with the Jets and the Arizona Cardinals? Who knows? Cardinals are supposed to hop on a plane and fly to New York today with the one COVID positive in the New York Jets organization. Will the Cardinals fly out? TBD, maybe that game gets moved again. Then how does that affect the future one? I will still stand by the fact that I believe within the next 10 days, we will potentially hear, I can't say potentially because then it's not as strong as I feel, but it kind of gives me an out when it happens. So I'll keep it in. It plays. I think we will potentially hear in the next 10 days, Roger Goodell have to come out and talk about having an extra week or two at the end of the NFL season as buffer weeks for teams to make up games if need be, because we have to remember that the hotels in Tampa for the Super Bowl that are rented by the NFL have been right of first refusal by the NFL for an extra month afterwards. So that means that is going to be the plan. Ultimately, they said forfeiture or something like that is last case scenario. So maybe if a team misses four games and they can't do it in whatever, maybe that'll be it. I think we're going to see an extra week or two at the end to add on to games, which doesn't, by the way, just affect the teams that could make the playoffs. Let's talk about the teams that are way out of it. Will they even put their team on the field? Who knows? I mean, there is a lot to be figured out, but it's 2020. And I think we had a great depiction of what 2020 was just last night when our game's greatest player of all time, our game, okay, the NFL, football, greatest player of all time in almost everybody's mindsets, the man who has won six Super Bowls, the man who was drafted out of Michigan, like pick 199 or whatever the hell it was, and came in and led a dynasty for 20 straight years of success and has since parted ways. And now he's at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where a lot of players are ring chasing to follow him because he is the greatest player of all time. The depiction of 2020 is our greatest player of all time at the end of the game last night, being caught on camera in a crucial moment to lose the game. Not knowing that their offensive series was over. That is something that, you know, whenever you talk about 2020 and things come out of left field, like, hey, what's going on? You're looking this way. Wow! Right on the side of the face. You don't see it coming. That is what 2020 has been. Sports shutdown. Oh, never saw that coming.
Huh. Nope.
World shuts down. Whoa. Holy shit.
What?
Did not see that coming. Murder Hornets?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Excuse me?
Murder Hornets. What are you talking about? The entire left side of our country is on fire? What?
What?
Huh? 4 or 5 months into this thing, we still don't have an answer for a virus that was supposed to only be like 2 weeks out of our life. Like, what the fuck
Where's
going?
Science?
Now Tom Brady has no idea that four downs were played? That is a problem. That is maybe, I mean, we only talk about sports world, but in the sports world, I think that would, that is potentially the last thing on the list of things you thought would ever happen, mm-hmm. is Tom Brady not know situational football or situational awareness, because the New England Patriots, now let's not go ahead and say that they got it all figured out either, because they had a quarterback take a sack with no timeouts left at the end of half in field goal range, and they lost their situational football, which made me think like, whoa, the Patriots 2020, this is crazy. But now that we see the greatest quarterback of all time, in a game-winning situation, which is what this dude never, ever, ever blinks, never flinches. That's why he's Tom Brady. He literally doesn't sweat. His eye black doesn't move ever, even back whenever it was cheap-ass eye black that wasn't really waterproof. His stuff was never moved. Looked like he never, ever sweat, which is why Tom Brady, old Tommy Foxborough, is the guy that is who he is. Last night with the picture of him holding four fingers up to a ref, questioning on whether or not it was still fourth down. No, it's fifth down now. And that means the other team has the ball. That means you guys lose. They're going to kneel it out. And that team that's going to kneel it out, by the way, Big Dick Nick Foles and the Chicago Bears at home get another one. They're 4-1 now. Ooh. I don't know if you got victory steaks last night or if you're going to get birthday steaks tomorrow. Oh, happy birthday to Zito. Happy birthday, Zito. That had to be a great night to be a Bears fan, because they were, when they were undefeated, everybody that knows the game of football said, hey, Chicago Bears, the worst undefeated team maybe in the history of the NFL.
Fair done.
So then they lose. They're 3-1. Okay. And Nick Foles, in his first game, he only he was terrible. God awful football Brutal. Player. I mean, he was a bad football player. Yeah. Nagy comes out and says, no, we're sticking with Nick Foles. This is for the duration here. This is our quarterback. This is our guy. We're going to go with him. And you heard a lot of the pundits on TV said, well, all the players know that Nick Foles is a guy who's won. He's been there. He's done that. So you know that you have a chance in every single game. And I'm not saying that the pundits said that you don't have that with Mitchell Trubisky, but it does feel like Nick Foles was a calming factor. But his first game he played, not great. I mean, not great at all. First quarter he played last night, not great, not great at all. But that defense with primetime players like Khalil Mack, primetime players are primetime players because in primetime games, they make primetime plays. And that is what Khalil Mack made a bunch of last night. Oh, yeah. Had great interactions with Tom Brady, by the way. Love him whispering in his ear at the end of the game, basically, and Tom Brady rolling his eyes. But this Chicago Bears team is now 4-1.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody has a clue what team they are. Everybody's still going to say they stink, but they just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, granted, Tampa Bay Buccaneers had no weapons, okay? Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette dressing, but Mike Evans playing, but scored a touchdown, by the way. Big ups to him. That was a plus 500 boost last night. Ooh. Mike Evans scored first touchdown. Yep. He couldn't run at all. He still scores touchdown. Mike Evans is a man that should be in a conversation of, hey, great wide receivers. As is Allen Robinson, 10 catches last night. And there was a couple that he had to make some magical plays in. He started a little bit rocky there. I think he gave up a pick or whatever. It hit off his hands. But Allen Robinson, superstar. That Bears team, it doesn't matter how you win. The fact that they're winning games, Chicago's got to be pumped. And are you pumped about Nick Foles? Are you pumped about Nagy? Are you just pumped that the team that you guys have cheered for a long, long time is just winning games and you have no idea why, like the rest of the world?
I will tell you, Nick Foles said last night it was a fist fight. And I love when your quarterback comes out after a game was, we've punched the shit out of those guys.
Well, the thing about Nick Foles, too, they said, did you get a chance to talk to Tom Brady after the game? Tom Brady just immediately left the field.
Yep. Yeah.
And Nick Foles said, because of social distancing, we're not doing that or whatever. But Nick Foles was standing there looking for him, and Tom just jogged off the field. I wonder if there was a little bit of a disrespect field by Nick Foles.
Animosity.
And by the way, at this point, I don't know about animosity. I would assume Tom Brady didn't do that out of like, because there's probably a lot of people that Tom Brady shakes hands with, right? Coach probably comes up to Tom Brady. Like, for instance, if I'm on the other team and we're playing the Tom, well, normally through my career, I was with Vinatieri, so Tom would actually come come to our to us. Just like, by the way, Belichick would come to us, I'll say. Yeah, but
specialists.
While we were sitting there, me and Vinny combined five Super Bowls. You know what I mean?
Pretty good.
So,
yeah. Pretty good.
So between he would come, or four Super Bowls, he would come to us.
A lot of jewelry.
Yeah. So when me and Vinatieri are in a room, know that there are multi-time Super Bowl champion ship rings in that room.
Hell yeah.
And by the way, if you walk into a room with Vinatieri, same thing for you, by the
way.
Whoa. Whoa. Unbelievable.
Hold the phone.
But it would be interesting that Tom Brady probably didn't want to talk to anybody. So it's not just Nick Foles that he slighted there. I would assume that after games for Tom Brady is a full, I assume it is a full meet and greet sesh almost, because that's what it was like for Peyton. That's what it's like for all the guys. Because all these young guys that were playing are in the league, got a chance to play against Tom Brady. They're like, okay, I got to go meet Tom Brady. I played against him. And everybody probably says, hey, big fan, man. Even if they got bombed on by Tom Brady, if you have the opportunity, which you probably never have again, go, hey, big fan, Tom. Like, you know, nice meeting you. Like that type of thing. That was probably what Tom was leaving. And Tom was probably also shown the photo of Patrick Mahomes and Stephon Gilmore after the game. And then it comes out a day later that Stephon Gilmore had COVID. And now they're like, well, does Patrick Mahomes have it? He doesn't, thank God, somehow. Don't know anything about COVID, by the way, if that wasn't a situation that would cause them to potentially share. Because they were talking helmet to helmet.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
pretty close.
I think that's
40. Unless he has antibodies, which I would not be surprised by Patrick Mahomes having antibodies. His body probably does fight against it. But Tom Brady with all those things, because I saw the internet talking about Tom basically being like LeBron, how LeBron walked off the court a couple days ago. Like, hey, Tom was doing that. I'm like, I don't think that's the same thing. I don't think this is the same situation. This is probably Tom not wanting to have a meet and greet or potentially get COVID. And maybe also a little bit of, I hate that Nick Foles guy. I'm not going undefeated over there. Last night was great football. Fun to watch. The under hit. Shout out to Tony Unders over there.
Tone.
Appreciate you, Tone.
It was quite a ride.
Having me take that, because it started out like a lock. There was a missed third down completion here. There was field goal instead of touchdown. There was this. There was a lot of things happening early for the under to hit. Then it got a little bit hot. Pum, pum, pum. Two touchdowns in like what?
Two minutes
or something like that for the Bears. They take the lead going into half. First time in Tom Brady's career, I guess, where he's had to lead by at least 10 points in the first half and not go into halftime with the lead or something like that. Some stat made the board. But last night's football was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching it. I had a great time. We learned a lot about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Maybe they don't have it figured out yet, or maybe they just had no players. But that fourth down call, fourth and five, where they throw it into a triple team and then not know that it was fourth down and the game's over, that is a little alarming. I mean, that is something that I think we would all say is a little bit alarming.
Have you ever seen something like that?
Yes, I've seen. I've jogged on the field with young quarterbacks when it's fourth down and they think like it's still third. Like I'm jogging on the field. Like,
no, no,
it's buddy. You you're playing in the slot?
Like even to like offensive linemen, it's happening where you're like, hey, like, hey, good try. Hey, good try. You know, like, good try. Wide receiver, same thing. Yeah. Like, hey, good try, you know, because as you're jogging on the field. So that happens.
Yeah.
But the quarterback, especially Tom Brady, you would assume not happen. And I would assume with a younger quarterback, the offensive play caller is going in there and he's going, okay, we got third down and five here. Don't turn the ball over. We can just punt if we have to. Here we go. And then they read the play, right? I would assume that there's a little bit of that. That's why with young quarterbacks, the ability to have the speaker in your thing is such a big deal. That's why cutting it off at 15 is such a big deal, because they don't want them to be able to just tell them everything, because that is a weapon. Yeah. In some offensive coordinators, I would assume with young quarterbacks, I mean, the only time I played quarterback, I had no speaker in my helmet. Old school, no big deal.
Wow.
But no big deal. And I took the snap 14 and a half yards instead of the seven. Maybe they should try it. Can't get a rush on me. No big deal. If you have a big enough arm, that really doesn't affect you.
True.
Yeah, I took basically a 14-step drop back.
You and Mahomes.
Yeah, me and Mahomes do the same thing. Super Bowl wasp. That's what I played, basically. Anyways, so I would assume Byron Leftwich didn't feel like he had to do that to Tom. I assume Byron Leftwich didn't assume he had to go, hey, fourth down now. We have to pick up a first down. Keep this thing alive however you can. I would assume he didn't do that. Will that be something they do moving forward? Or will they all just be like, okay, that we all know that that can't happen again. Who knows? And that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. There's been moments of greatness. There's been moments of what is that? And Tom Brady even came out with his interview with EA before the show. Aaron Andrews, nicknamed EA. I learned that. EA, it's in the game. EA, he basically said, like, not having preseason in his entire life would he have ever thought was a big deal. But in this particular season, not having a preseason, he thought was pretty detrimental. And then he said in my previous home, I think he said New England. I don't know if he didn't say New England.
Wow.
I wish I would remember that little detail if he would have just said like my previous team. Or
before.
But I think he said in New England, I was always the constant and people were coming in. So everybody had to learn my offense. He said, now it's the complete opposite. I have to learn their off. So he said there's a lot of things that he thinks, like the way this year has been set up as opposed to every other year, that maybe he didn't learn as quickly as he thought he was, or they didn't gel as quickly as they had thought. But now they're at the point where Tom's chewing people out. So I assume he's comfortable with the boys, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just chewing out people that you don't get along with. Yeah. And some people might say like, oh, he shouldn't do that to his teammates. It's like, no, if that's the type of guy he is, if he's doing that, that means he's comfortable with those guys. Okay. He's not just going to do that to somebody that he doesn't like or whatever. And now granted, there's different ways to do things. Hey, We've all seen the video footage of Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday almost getting into a fist fight on the sideline. We've all seen and heard about stories of basically every quarterback that's probably ever come into the NFL getting into it with somebody on the sideline, except for Andrew Luck. That guy never got into it with anybody, and I actually thought that was a detriment to him. I wish that there was a couple of times where he would potentially chew people out. So I think the book is still out on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, on the Tampa Bay Q Gronkaneers. I think they could be great. Uh-huh. I think they could potentially fizzle out here for whatever reason because they're not all on the same page or they don't get it. I think both of those are very equally likely. But in my eyes, since I picked them to go to the Super Bowl very early, I'd like to believe that they're going to figure this out and get it going.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't have the fucking quarterback not knowing it's fourth down at the end of the game. Just can't have it. And then the drive before that, whenever you're up two and you can put the game away and you only eat off like 12 seconds off the clock and you run a passing play when you only have one wide receiver and Ronald Jones runs out right into like four people for a check down. Like that is a problem. There are some situational football, alarming situations that happened last night that you would not expect for a team that has Tom Brady as a quarterback. They're going to have to figure that out. But if you're the Chicago Bears, who gives a fuck? That's not on you.
Hell yeah.
That's a hell of a Thursday night football. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman did incredible. This weekend, games are all over the board. Yep. We got two on Monday, I believe. We got one on Tuesday, potentially. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch on Sunday. We got college football on Saturday. We'll talk about it all today with our guest Tom Pelissaro, Adam Thielen, and TJ. What? All the boys are here at Tone Diggs, at Boston Connor, Ty Schmidt, at Viva La Zito. We have to get to a break, Zito, after your big Bears win, birthday weekend as well. What is your big old poll of the day for the people?
Hey, Z's poll today is who will have a more successful 2020 season? As of right now, Tom Brady's at 31.6%. Mr. Belichick's at 68.4%.
Mm-hmm. This is obviously a poll that Zito put out there strictly to profit off of the what have you done for me lately crowd.
I don't know. That seems like a pretty honest
Zito
poll.
Zito wants Bill Belichick to win because he is roommates with a man who is a diehard New England Patriot fan. Somehow, Boston Connor's toxicity towards Tom has penetrated the birthday boy Zito. Yeah. You want to see Tom Brady lose this poll?
No, I want
Tom Brady to win.
No, don't even.
No, you do not.
I think he's going to be more successful.
Zito wants 50-50. He always wants 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's not a sports book.
I will tell you, I never vote. I can't.
No, I voted Brady.
Hold on. You hanging on to this poll, though, until conveniently, the day after your Bears team beat Tom Brady and he makes a crucial error at the end of the game that he wouldn't normally make is interesting timing, and I would say that's leading journalism. I would say that is.
I will say the Bears are on the Panthers. Brady's in the rearview mirror, so we don't care about him anymore.
So sorry to interrupt, and I'd like to take a moment to talk about something that is very serious, and I can't believe it's still happening. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. You get in a crash, people get hurt or killed, but let's take a moment to look at some surprisingly alarming statistics. Still, right now, almost 29 people in the United States die every day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by a third in the last three decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives each year.
Jesus.
Drunk driving can have a big impact in your wallet, too. You get arrested and incur huge legal expenses. You could possibly even lose your job. So what can you do to prevent drunk driving? Plan a safe ride home before you start drinking. Designate a sober driver. Call a taxi. Maybe just do what every human's doing right now. Uber, Lyft your ass home.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that because you want to have a good time that anybody else's life should be in jeopardy, especially with the resources that we have in 2020. If someone you know has been drinking, take their keys and arrange for them to get a sober ride home. We all know the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing's for sure. You're wrong if you think it's no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This is paid for by the NHTSA, which is pronounced NHTSA. It's 2020. There's no reason for you to be drunk driving. It's not cool. It's not smart. You're actually a stooge and
a sellout.
Back to the show. The NFL players right now and coaches and equipment managers and athletic trainers, and I think that is what I've noticed the most out of the Tennessee outbreak, out of what happened in New England, now with the Jets, and everything that's kind of moving and moving and grooving. It's almost like we should be giving a lot more credit to all the guys and girls that haven't had anything done.
Correct, yeah.
So congrats to the 29 teams that have successfully followed all the COVID-19 protocols to get us into this week five of the NFL season.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right now, negativity, Friday, negativity hogs publicity. So obviously, we're going to talk about the Jets in New England and what's happening in Tennessee and everything like that. And in the Las Vegas Raiders, who had one person and games being moved, and the Chiefs having a practice player having a positive. Jordan Tamu, the XFL's MVP, probably if PJ Walker didn't have it. But that means there's a lot of other teams that have done this thing completely right. Mm-hmm. And on this Feel Good Friday, I think we should celebrate those particular humans.
Hell yeah.
So big thanks to the 28 teams, if you do lump the Vegas Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs, who have had a positive case. Well, I guess 27 teams, for having an incredible start with your protocols.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, all of us.
People are going to talk about how there's protocols being broken in different buildings a lot. That led off all the news, basically. Yeah. Hey, we got two games on Monday. We got a game on Tuesday. We got this happening on this day. And it's all like negative, negative, negative. How about the teams that have had negative tests throughout this entire thing? We'll be a team that our show that will spotlight
this. Yes, we will.
Absolutely.
Joining us now is a man from a team that did get affected by the COVID, but had no positive tests. This man last year was number three in the Defensive Player of the Year voting.
What?
This man is currently the odds-on favorite to be the Defensive Player of the Year.
What?
This man gets interceptions.
What?
This man gets fumbles.
What?
This man gets sacks.
What?
More sacks.
What?
More sacks.
What?
This man also eats at Subway.
What?
Also hosts a game show about tag.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, defensive end, outside linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, T.J.
What?
Yeah! Wow. Wow, that was some introduction, man. I love the energy.
Well, you deserve it. I enjoy the way you play the football as well. I think before we get this...
Man,
hey, I appreciate it.
They were going like hotcakes in the stinking locker room. The whole locker got berated. I think there's only one left, and I got it on.
Well, by the way, I love your Wisconsin accent. Okay? I just hear it immediately. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Excited to chat with you here on this Fast Friday.
Thank you, man. I'm here for it.
All right, so you're a man. I obviously know that you eat weights for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You watch more film than anybody. You like working. I mean, that is kind of why you've gotten to where you are. Last week, you guys get thrown into a bye week without knowing it's a bye week, basically, because of what happens in Tennessee. I would assume going into the season, you knew that this was potentially possible. Mike Tomlin's wordings were, "We do not care." That has to be the mindset throughout the entire team. And do you feel fresher with your knee injury in the team? Do you feel fresher going into the Eagles this weekend? And did you get a little bit of the benefit of a bye week without even knowing you were in one?
Yeah, I think me personally, I got to capitalize on the knee, and I got a little banged up in the previous week. And it would have been nicer to have a few extra days and know the bye week was coming a little bit sooner than it was. But like Coach T said, we really don't care. It doesn't matter who we're facing. We don't care where we have to play, when we have to play. We're trying to do everything that we can to follow these protocols. I got a tracker on me every time I'm in the facility. And I want to play football, and I'll do whatever it takes to do it. And I want to stay inside the house and not leave if that's what it takes.
I feel like I just want to play football is a mindset by a lot of people in the NFL, obviously. But the Watt family, it's celebrated. And I don't think anybody – not that that's a good thing, by the way. That's, you get it. Yeah.
I get it.
I don't think anybody knew what to expect from you, right? I think everybody just automatically assumed, like, hey, this is another JJ here, but you go to Pittsburgh, obviously, you have a different route to get to where you are. I mean, you have your own story. And last year, we went to that Buffalo Bills game at the end of the season. It didn't end up great. Probably should have won. That was my fault for probably you guys losing. But I noticed in year three, okay, you were the last guy introduced. When the defense was introduced. And I was like, whoa, I did not expect that to be the guy that comes out last. That's a rather large deal, okay? That is in the locker room, that's a big deal. In the city, that's a big deal. At what point did you know, like, you were going to be a guy in the NFL? Like, did you, obviously you had that thought going in. You're like, all right, I'm going to be able to do what I got to do. But was there any moments where you're like, okay, Pittsburgh's a great city for me. This team's a great team for me. And this league is a league that I'm going to have success in?
Yeah, I always thought Pittsburgh was a great fit for me. They run the 3-4 really well. Obviously, they're known for their outside linebackers and having splash. And then, I mean, seeing JJ firsthand and Derek obviously too having success in the NFL, knowing that I grew up with those guys. I knew the work that went into it, and I said, if they can do it, why can't I? So I think they gave me kind of the blueprint of what I had to do, and just trying to be the best professional that I could be, soaking up as much information as a rookie and not talking. I think JJ taught me that, to try to be the quiet guy that just performs really well. And as the years goes on, you kind of grow into that leadership role. And like you said, coming out of the tunnel last, I think year three, I think I found that on a game day, and that was a really cool moment for me. And the rest is still being written.
Hey, that's a lot of pressure coming out last, okay? This is the final, here we go. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, Renegade comes on the fourth quarter. That's another little boost. But you coming out is a big deal. And I was like, damn, this is real. And then you start watching you play these last couple years. Obviously, first couple years are still good. Last year, third in Defensive Player of the Year voting. This year, the odds-on favorite. What is it you think that has made you have this success that you've had in the game? Is it your skill set? Is it your power? Is it your speed? Is it Tom? Is it a combination of everything? What do you think it actually is, if you could put a finger point on it?
I think it's a combination of things. I'm still just growing at this position. I only played 2 years of defense in college, so I'm still growing with the position. I played only right side my rookie year. These past few years, I've played only left side. So just getting more and more comfortable. The game is slowing down. Early on in my career, I wasn't able to kind of process everything. I wasn't able to listen as much to snap counts, to what the offensive linemen are saying, just because I had so much going on in my mind of what I was doing on each play. But now things are slowing down, so I can listen if a lineman's saying something that is referring to a pass or a run play. I can hear that and usually jump the snap count and get the play right.
So the no crowd thing has been a benefit to the offense in everybody's eyes. Like, hard counts are working on the road team, yeah, does whatever. Defense seems to be getting screwed with the lack of fans. But in your eyes, you're actually using it as an advantage. Like, okay, and normally whenever this city in this stadium is so loud, which is great news for me against these tackles who can't get off on time or whatever. But without that, you've been able to find some real advantages in being able to hear potential code words or anything like that.
Yeah, I think, like you just said, it's huge to have that crowd noise. Don't get me wrong, as a pass rusher, I would want that more than anything, especially here in Pittsburgh, Steeler Nation, flipping the towels around and everything, and being able to get off the ball is number one as an edge rusher. But you have to look at the bright side, and this is the first time I've been able to hear almost everything. This is the most TV copies of games that I've watched. I've watched pretty much every single game of our opponent on TV, and just kind of close my eyes and listen for as much information that I could possibly get to help me, and then relate it to my teammates and use it to our benefit.
Man.
Damn.
That is – so you really are like – I do the football. You go home.
I absolutely love the game of football. I love being able to go in on Sunday and say, I prepared everything that I possibly can. While that guy was probably sitting on the couch watching TV, I've been watching film. I've been working out. I know how corny it sounds, but it's truly how I feel about the game.
No, that's confidence, by the way. Your preparation leads to your confidence, because if you feel like you're prepared for anything, even more prepared than the other person, you can kind of just go ahead and let it rip and react as opposed to overthink. So I think that's a good thing, and I think the greats all have that, and it's awesome to hear that you do, because I was a little bit worried about your generation being a bunch of soft asses. Yeah. You know what I mean? Playing video games. I was worried about that. I was obviously worried about that.
Not around here.
What do you got, Diggs?
TJ, so you had 13 sacks your rookie year, which is pretty good. By the way, big fan. 14 and a half sacks last year. And, like, you'll have these good games, and JJ will tweet, like, yay, TJ. But then, like, someone will say something. He'll be like, well, yeah, come talk to me when he is three defensive player of the year. Like, why is he going to be such a bully, man? Like, why is he going to be a bully?
What's
like
that all about?
He likes to dish compliments, but he doesn't like to dish too much. He likes to remind me that he has all of his awards. Anytime I FaceTime him, sometimes he'll be in his office, and he's got the three awards hanging above his head, and I'm like, I know, you won those. It's incredible to go back and just look at all the stats that he put up. I know you played in the AFC South, Pat, and got to see some of the stuff firsthand, and it was incredible. I go back and look at those stats from when he was really, really on his game, and it's crazy.
He was a game wrecker in all facets. I mean, scoring touchdowns. Do you ever get in Tomlin's ear like, hey, maybe throw me an out every once in a while?
He said, I got to do a lot more before we do any of those talks. Good tight ends here.
Let's talk about Tomlin. You got to do a lot more, too, before you potentially just chew out your coach, allegedly, on the practice field and change everything around. No. We won't talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. But let's talk about Tomlin, though. I've had a chance, obviously, to interact with Tomlin a couple different occasions. Coach Stu, who was my coach at West Virginia, gave him his first job, so he was around a lot. Tomlin was the one that put me through my workout on my pro day at West Virginia. Without him, I'm not in the league. Every time we play, I got a chance to dap him up. And he doesn't do a lot of talking. He's not with the media much. But I talked to everybody that plays for the Steelers. They're like, he's that dude. Like, he's just that guy. What has Tomlin been like to play for? And why does he never get the credit or the accolades that everybody else seems to have if they had the same record he had?
Man, he's awesome. He's the ultimate coach as far as knowing how to motivate his players. And he's never gonna fold up shop. Like last year, you saw we didn't have our starting quarterback, and he just said, listen, we're gonna go with what we got, and we're gonna, as a defense, he's a defensive minded coach. I really love just his attack mentality. I mean, we embrace being blitzers. We embrace being that badass defense that flies around and makes as many plays as we possibly can and create and splash. Just as a person, the amount of transparency that he has, if you don't know, if you're playing well, all you got to do is ask him. He's going to tell you. He's not going to hide how he feels. And I think that's really important from an evaluation standpoint and just a person.
I'm a big fan of him. He came up to me last year whenever we were there and talked about everything I was doing. And I know he's a super football guy, but he never gets talked about at the level that great coaches get talked about. And he has just been so good. And the legacy in Pittsburgh, by the way, is to have a badass defense. Like, that is something that Pittsburgh, the Steeler fans, absolutely love. And for you guys, this defensive line you have is like the steel curtain again, but in a different fashion. It's much more athletic. It makes different plays. But you, Cam, Bud, the whole boys in that room there, you have to be an absolute nightmare. How nice is it to know that the people that are lining up, now granted, you're outside linebacker, we get it, but the people that are rushing the passer are an incredibly talented group. Cam Hayward picked a human up last year and dumped him on a quarterback and completely changed the trajectory of the Indianapolis Colts. That group that you guys have, are you competing against each other? Is it like, hey, who's going to be the dog this week in the room? Or is it, hey, let's all eat here. Let's figure out how we can all eat.
Man, Cam, Bud, Tua, Tyson, you should see practice. I think Bud put an offensive lineman on his ass yesterday in practice.
Oh, wait. Is there drama in the Pittsburgh Steelers? Bud DeGree is fighting offensive linemen? Oh, my God.
It's very competitive around here, but it's all the right type of competition.
Okay.
We all love to see each other succeed. We don't care who's making the plays. Like you said, we blitz a lot. And we don't care who's blitzing. The other team doesn't know where it's coming from because we send absolutely everybody. So as long as we're making the plays, we're creating splash, and we're providing the offense with good field position and turn the ball over, life is good in Pittsburgh.
TJ, obviously you grew up watching your brother, Stud, one of the best, one of the all-time greats. Are there any other guys, though, that you idolized or watched film on to get some pass rush moves or to model your game after?
Not really growing up, just because I just switched to defense my junior year of college. But now that I'm in the NFL, whenever I play an offensive lineman, I try to watch somebody that's kind of a speed rusher, like a Von Miller or a Yannick Ngakoue. Just guys that are really skilled with their hands, that have a great get off. Just love to watch their craft and see what type of moves that I can translate to my game.
Why'd you do the kick? I enjoy the kick, but when did we settle on the, because it's really good extension too. You have great flexibility. Yeah. It's a celebration. How did you settle on that? You just freak out, panic one time, you do it, and everybody's like,
yeah. I honestly think that's what it is. I make a play, I black out, and the first thing that happens is my leg goes up in the air, and the rest is history.
Do you yell a lot? Because your brother, they have your brother mic'd up, and he is a chirper. I mean, he is a guy that is a chirper. I would assume in that family you have to be. Are you a big talker, or are you kind of celebrate, yell, and I'll keep it quiet in between plays?
I was mic'd up for the first time against the Texans last week, and I made sure that I didn't talk as much trash as I normally do.
Oh, smart. That's very smart, by the way.
But I think, like you said, it comes back to the confidence thing and just trying to play as best as you possibly can, and mental warfare is definitely part of it. It can be. And I love the yell. I love the yell after you make a play. It's just super, super excited, and this is the NFL, man. It's tough to make these plays, so it'd be – it'd be a disservice not to celebrate when you make them.
I agree. I had that motto whenever I was punting, man. It's not easy to do what I just did. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. I'm pumped to be here. I'm going to celebrate the hell out of this. You saying that mental warfare is a part of it is awesome to think about. Just going into a game like, all right, I'm going to beat this guy physically and mentally. I'm going to wear this guy's ass out. What's up, Dick?
TJ, no offense to Mason and Duck. We love Duck. We've had Duck on the show. But how awesome is it to have Seven back?
Oh, it's incredible. He looks awesome. And to be able to compete and practice against him again, and the no-look passes are back and just dropping dimes on a daily basis. Obviously, we can't get close to him at all. He's got a big bubble around him in the pocket. That's unfortunate.
Smart.
But it's awesome to have him back.
Last question before we let you go, and we can't thank you enough for spending time here. Great hat, too. I mean, the backwards hat.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
You look so cool, dude.
Good look. Black chain.
Wow. I mean,
I'm probably going to buy one today.
Yes. I try to tie it in with the shirt.
You look awesome. Oh. Hey, don't get us wrong. You look awesome. I thought that maybe because you guys were heating up, and defense is playing great since jump, but the offense was heating up or whatever. Then all of a sudden you have this layoff out of nowhere for the Titans game, now building back up. Do you see any chance of your team potentially having a hiccup because of what happened to the Titans, or is that just something that should not even be talked about? We're professionals here.
I don't know. I feel very confident. I take this kind of not as like a bye week, but more like a bowl prep. It's kind of how I've been looking at it, just because we had an extended period of time. We know who our opponent's going to be. You can watch as much film as you could possibly watch. Our bodies feel great. Everybody's fresh. And I'm excited. It feels like it's been a long time since we've been in the stadium, and I'm really looking forward to Sunday.
What lifts do you – I know your brother does those things out in the log house that he has. That's like
the log.
He lives out in a log house that is things like 75,000 square feet.
Yeah, just
like,
about.
You know, like he's living out in the woods out in Wisconsin. I'm like, well, let's look at the house first. I mean, he's got TV with lighting around the outside.
Scary at night. It is in the middle of the woods. It is scary at night, I tell you that.
Well, that's why you got to be a Watt brother.
Right? Yeah.
That's why you guys got that Subway shop that your dad runs outside of it. But what is the go-to lift? Explosive exercises?
Yeah, you want to be as explosive as possible, but you also don't want to push it too hard in season, and you have to be smart with pushing yourself and being as smart as possible. You don't want to have any tweaks or anything before you go out on the field. So usually you start more strength early in the week, and then it's kind of a slow taper as you get closer to game day.
All right. Well, good luck this Sunday. It's going to be great to see you guys playing the football again. I mean, unless we
–
there is still time for COVID to potentially
–
Hey, there is still – knock on wood. Happy birthday to you, Sunday. Have a great one out there. I assume a sack or two, a big punt. Have a great time. Ladies and gentlemen, defensive player of the year favorite right now, a man who was number 3 in the voting last year, fourth year Pittsburgh Steeler, outside linebacker, TJ Watt. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man. Cool guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great guy.
Classic cool guy. He kicks ass on the field, though.
Very good.
When he came out last in the introduction there, when we went to that Steelers game, place one. Bananas. That is a rather tall task, by the way, to be the last person out there. You've seen the different people. Ray Lewis comes out last.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton used to come out last. Andrew come out last. You look at JJ used to come out last. That's a big thing. And Dawkins, whenever he was playing for the Eagles, like the last person to come out is you got to be respected by the team as well to put you there, not just the players. And I think that's a big deal for a third-year guy.
You know how easily influenced I am?
Yeah, you just bought the black chain? Yeah,
wow.
Smart. Yeah, you had to.
There's something that had to be done.
But you're turning into Jay Cutler right now because you're watching that Montana show.
Mm-hmm.
You were a madman there for like a year just getting hammered off a whiskey every single day
easily
with slick back hair. Yeah, you're a chameleon, but you're a damn good one. You're being joined now by a man who can hit a three wood 375 yards. A man who had to pay his way into a workout to inevitably end up on the Minnesota Vikings. A man who is the first person in the history of the NFL to do the gritty as a celebration dance. Ladies and gentlemen, wide receiver of the Minnesota Vikings. First guy in, last guy out. Coach's kid, lunch pail kind of guy, crafty athlete. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Thielen.
What's up?
Man, we've missed you over here. I'm going to be honest. How have you been?
Well, I've been great, but, you know, I've been a little sad that it's taken this long to get back on your show.
Well,
every week I see Rogers on there, like,
oh,
every single week. And I can't even get a call for, like, it's almost like I feel like we had such a good time talking last time. And then I feel like the girlfriend that you never call back, that's all.
Oh, no, don't feel that way. What you should feel like is the friend who had an abundance of fun, almost an overdose of fun the last time we talked. And then the friend saw you in a situation where, you know, maybe it's not the right time for this guy to display the amount of fun we're probably going to have again because the team isn't playing as great as they potentially could be. Then you guys get a big win. It's like, hey, time to get the fun out. Now we are back. Let's do it. So that's where we stand, Adam.
And okay.
As a guy now for the Minnesota Vikings, a staple of the organization at this point, you guys get a big win. What is the mindset now? Like, hey, that is what we are. Okay, that is what we know we can be. You do the gritty. I do the gritty. We do the gritty. And we just keep on winning with gritty Kirk Cousins. What is the mindset going forward? And I feel like you guys were potentially in a similar spot last year mental wise, and then you guys figured it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, it's just making sure we're still having fun. Like you said, you know, it's hard when you're losing to have fun, but we want to make sure that we're still going out there. We're doing this, playing the sport that we love and having fun doing it, whether win, lose, regardless, go out there and have fun. And I think you see that. You see a bunch of guys that are just going out there. They love to play. They love to compete. And it doesn't really matter what our record is. We're going to still go out there, have fun, and try to do our job to the best of our ability.
And I think the thing about fans is whenever you lose early, you can obviously lose a little bit of hope or be pissed off about it. For players, there's another game coming. So it's not like a, hey, we can worry and let this ruin our life type thing. We have to get ready for the next one. For you, Justin Jefferson's in there, young guy. It looks like you two have really bonded well. Has the offense come together here? The departure of Stephon Diggs, do you feel like without the preseason, without a chance for the young guy to kind of buy in there, it was a little bit of a problem on the field, not off the field, but on the field, and now you guys are kind of catching your groove? Or has that just been something that was immediate from the jump as soon as he got there, everything's good?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, credit to him. He's kind of came in here on fire since he got here, you know, shown that he belongs, that he's ready to play. And we were just kind of waiting for, you know, his opportunity to see what he can do. But yeah, obviously it's different with no preseason games, no OTAs. That's huge, obviously, being able to come in and get comfortable with everything. But, you know, obviously it doesn't take him much time because he's lighting it on fire and he's having fun doing it. That's what I love most about him is he's always got a smile on his face. He's never complaining. Even the first couple of weeks when he wasn't getting a lot of opportunity, you know, he has a smile on his face, come to work every day. And I enjoy being around people like that.
I would assume he introduced you to the gritty. Or did you?
He did.
I saw that first touchdown when he came running over, and I saw you directly look at him and start doing it, and he was all excited. That was a really cool moment, I think, that I saw from the outside looking in about team camaraderie. I was like, that's a really cool moment between those two. Old, young guy, same world. We're all happy we succeeded here.
That's right. I've seen him do it in college, and then, you know, since he got here, he's always doing it. So I told him, you know, anytime I'm in the end zone, I'm going to be doing your dance. So he allowed me to use his dance. So I'm not very good at it, but I have fun. Whoa. Doing it.
I was about to say, have you heard the internet say that you are the worst gritty? I don't know if you deserve that at this point.
Well, yeah, and no excuses, right? But I will say, in practice, I'm unbelievable. And then the lights are on me, and you know the cameras, and I'm all juiced up, so it gets a little out of rhythm. But hopefully, I can master it one of these days.
Hey, bring that heart rate down a little bit. Hey,
that's what it was. I'm like too juiced up. That's what I told him, and then. You know, who knows what happens after that?
Well, you got to do what you got to do when you're in the zone. You are currently in the middle of a run, 8 games, with most consecutive games with 100 yards receiving. That's unbelievable. You're tied with – no, he's not.
Before.
Before.
Yeah, he is the seasons. NFL record for most games with 100 yards.
He's not in the middle of it right now. No. Why don't you get back to that then? What are we doing right now?
That's a long time ago, man. That's like when I was like in the 20s.
Well, let's talk about you and Kirk then. Let's talk about you and Kirk's relationship, okay? Let's talk about you and Kirk Cousins, because last year there was a moment, everybody saw it, we all talked about it. I think we even talked to you about it. Then the Kirk Cousins show happened. And then, obviously, Kirk Cousins goes down to Jerry World, and he becomes primetime Kirk Cousins. Then you get a playoff win against the Saints, and everybody's like, okay, Kirk Cousins has gotten the monkey off of his back, what everybody said. Then this offseason, just a couple weeks ago, he comes out and says, if I die, I die. And I'm like, this feels like a Kirk Cousins that is a different Kirk Cousins than I would have expected. What is this year's Kirk Cousins? How is your relationship with him? And how does he feel day in, day out with the team that you guys have right now?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, most people don't know, like you said, everybody kind of has this vision of who Kirk is, but he's totally different. You know, he's a fun guy to be around. Again, you know, you talk about, you know, Justin, how much fun he has, and Kirk's that same guy. Always mess around, joke around, and then you see him on the field, and he's a totally different person because he's locked in, he's focused. It's hard to get him off his out of his focus when you try to make him laugh, but he doesn't really give you much on the field. But yeah, he's a fun guy to be around. Obviously, you know, he's a great leader to have in the locker room because he's the same Kirk every single day. Whether we're losing, whether he's getting just killed on the internet or by the fans, things like that, he's the same guy. He's preparing. He's ready to go. He's ready to lead this team and help us win games.
And when you're sitting there and you're seeing what's going on with the Titans and you're seeing what's going on with the Patriots and you're sitting there and you're seeing what's going on with the Jets allegedly this morning, it feels like even if you guys have it all locked down in there, and I've heard there's humans walking around writing down names if you don't have your mask on and they're like watching the surveillance cameras and there's certain ways you can do this and do that. You can't eat with people and all this. I mean, it's wild shit you guys are going through right now. But when you see this happen with other teams, is there any mindset that we can get it all right and we can still potentially get affected by this like the Steelers got last week with the early bye week out of nowhere because the Titans couldn't travel to play?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of just, taking it day by day because you really just don't know what's going to happen. You try to, do your best ability to follow the rules and do all that. So, you hope that you don't get in your own team in that situation. But, yeah, we have a mask force, we call them, around the building that is just looking for people without their masks on or having them on correctly. So that's been interesting, but it is what it is.
So what do they do? It's like a hall monitor in high school. They're just writing down names. And are they people from the Vikings, or is it an NFL representative?
No, it's like people. You didn't know at first who they were, but now you have a good idea who they are because they start circling you if your like mask is like a little bit below your nose. Sure. And they start circling you and like, hey, mask up. So that's the mask force.
So the bubble is obviously something that all players are excited about. The what I got like 10 text, literally legitimately 7 text messages from guys, both coaches and players around the league. As soon as we talked about it the other day, they were like, don't even put that into the universe. Stop talking about it. Just don't even say it. But it is a big conversation. Let's eliminate the bubble thought because I don't think it would be even possible within the NFL with how large it is, especially at this moment. It would be very, very difficult with all the things that NFL teams need as opposed to what NBA players need or the MLS or anything like that. So different story. But when you go home, do you just go home, lock yourself in your house, come back to work? And is that just put that on repeat? Is that what everybody is being asked to do? Or what is day to day? Can you leave your house? Can your kids leave your house? What is the rules?
Yeah, it's interesting, obviously, with having a family. I mean, you know how it is. You know, during the season, you're exhausted. It's not like you're wanting to do much anyways. Especially when you have a family, you come home and your real job begins. But no, I mean, my family's still doing their thing. My boys go to school, things like that. But definitely try to be aware of it. It's my son's birthday this weekend. And
hey, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Let's have a big party. Everybody in Minnesota, come to Thielen's house.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not inviting all of his friends and doing a big party, which is kind of a bummer. But we actually play on his birthday, so I have to do a little shout-out over TV. But we're doing a little party, just family tonight.
Oh, so you're going to score this weekend for your kid.
Here we go.
That's a good bet, actually. Anytime scorer, Adam Thielen. Because if not, his kid's birthday is completely ruined. What do you got, Connor?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Hey, you said it, not us. I mean, you can't even have a party for the kid.
Adam, COVID's been detrimental to undrafted free agents coming out of college. What would be your message to those guys? And do you think they have a chance next year to, you know, make an impact?
Yeah, I'd say just give it another year. Just keep working out, keep training. Keep if that's your dream and you really want to give it a true shot. I think that you'll have plenty of opportunity, you know, coming up next year with rookie camps. I'm sure they'll have a ton of invites for that and workouts, things like that. Once this is all behind us, so Yeah, obviously a bummer this year with no preseason games and all that, but I think those guys will get their shots as long as they, you know, keep training and keep working out and give it another year.
Whenever you had to pay to go work out, were you just so upset at the humans that you saw getting opportunities? You had to be. Now that we can hindsight the player that you are being perfectly built for the NFL, at that point being told by everybody, like, yeah, we don't even want to give you a free workout. Like, you're going to have to pay us to do that. You had to be so upset at so many people, I would assume. Or was it just, no, I'm motivated. No, but nothing's going to stop me.
Honestly, I never even thought about it like being a big deal. I just kind of was like, oh, hey, it's an opportunity. I was pumped to be there. Obviously, when I got there, I think I told you guys this story, but when I got there and I saw a quarterback that couldn't throw it 10 yards and got kicked out immediately, I was like, oh, boy, what am I doing? But no, honestly, I never really thought about that stuff until I, you know, got into the league and started really thinking about it, like, man, like, it's just crazy how you know, it was kind of a little bit of a scam, to be honest.
No
business being there, but hey, I got me a look, I guess. So.
What was it? $15? $25?
I think it was like $500.
Whoa! Yeah. Quite a scam.
Good investment.
We'll send Diggs to the next one.
So we do have I do have a business plan for you. So if you want to start up a little combine deal, you know.
Here we go. I do. You'll be the Facebook, like Mr. Regional Combine, the Thielen Combine. Come in. Nobody will look at you, but you can pay to do things on our field.
Yeah, no scouts there. You can be any age. Never had to play college football.
If we find the next Vince Papale or the next Adam Thielen, now we're playing the game. What do you got, Diggs?
Adam, I know you have to say the right thing here, but you're going up against the Seattle defense this week that's averaging, I believe, 400 yards a game, giving up passing. Like, when you go into a game like that, do you get maybe just like a little bit excited going up against that defense? Or?
Well, it's funny because, you know, everybody talks about like the stats. But if you watch their games, a few of them, they had big leads where they were kind of just playing prevent defense, where they just kind of letting guys catch the ball and then tackle them. So stats can be misleading. They have some guys, you know, in that secondary that are dang good football players. So it's a weird deal when you're in the NFL and people start talking about, man, they should just crush them because they're, you know, giving up so many yards. But when you look at the film, it's a different story. But again, that Seattle defense, no joke. They always are doing the right thing and they're flying around, smacking people, creating turnovers. I think they have some of the highest turnovers in the NFL. So they're a really good defense.
I know you like your defense and your defense is good, but Russ is going to figure it out. You guys are going to have to score. You're going to have to score.
Good luck.
And I'm excited you potentially, you know, score for your kid's birthday. Because if you don't, I mean, who knows what your kid says about his birthday.
Yeah.
How old is he? How old is your kid?
He's four.
Oh, he'll remember this one, too. Yeah, this is one he will remember.
Worst birthday ever.
I remember when my dad left me at home because I was locked in there to go play a football game and told me he was going to score a touchdown and didn't score a touchdown. I was five.
Four?
I was four or five.
Four or five, yeah.
I remember that. Like, it was just a... Hey, just,
well, I do have cleats that say happy birthday at
your
game. So
smart.
Yeah,
okay.
So either way, he'll be good.
Yeah, okay. He'll be pissed if he
doesn't. Dad of the year already got a tie.
Adam, obviously you probably can't do it much during the season, but how's the golf game looking right now? And are you gearing up to defend your belt with Pat at the Bahamas next year?
Such a bummer that we didn't get to play this year. It was one of my most, you know, fun times playing golf with Pat with no shoes on. We weren't a great team. I think we tied.
Hey, that's maybe better than a lot of people that lost, man. Come on, bud.
Love the belt, though. Love the belt.
Yeah, you got it.
But actually, before 2 weeks before the season started, I played the best round of golf I've ever played. And then I haven't touched a club since, so it's probably not great. But hey, I had it there. The game was there at one point.
You were insane watching you golf, to be honest. I had no idea what to expect, obviously. You came onto the scene in the NFL, and it was always like the sneaky athlete guy. And then I think Randy Moss was like, this guy's not sneaky athletic. Like, this guy
very
goes. Unbelievable. This guy just goes around. It's not really a sneak or a surprise anymore. Like, you started, like, earning respect by people who didn't pay attention, just wanted to classify you into the classic, hey, this white guy went and paid for a regional combine wide receiver guy, hardworking guy. It's like, no, this guy's guy's a freak athlete. And we knew that going into the round or whatever. But whenever you and me played Chris Paul and
Del Curry,
who's unbelievable.
I think he shot a 63.
Unbelievable golfer. I had no idea what to expect. You were so damn good. You played out at that Tahoe tourney. How'd you do out there?
I did okay. I struggled the first day, but then I played pretty well. I think I finished like top 20 maybe.
It's pretty good.
Wow. You need me out there, huh? Is that what you need?
That's what I really need.
Yeah.
You know, you should be on the bay.
Well, I won't caddy for anybody.
if I had you as a caddy, though, you don't carry my clubs. I'll carry my clubs, but you're just there. just to keep me, you know, relaxed, focused. You read my putts, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's going to be tough. I'm not good at reading, but I will keep you relaxed out there. It's all in the hips.
And they do have free drinks, so.
Hey-o.
Oh,
bingo.
Love that.
And, you know, I don't drink much, but that is a time where I think I would hop right back into the intoxicated river if I had to. What do you got?
Adam, what are you listening to pregame? And also, when you guys win, do you guys have a go-to song in the locker room after?
Yeah, here we go.
That's a great question. I don't actually listen to music very much.
These empty stadiums, you're just, oh, yeah, nothing.
Love this. This is good.
Well, I talk too much. I like to talk, if you guys haven't found that out. Mm-hmm. So I just go around the locker room and find guys that just want to talk. And just kind of, it's my way of, I guess, just kind of zoning out that there's actually a football game going on. And I just kind of just kind of chilled out and relaxed and ready to go.
Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He comes on the show every single
week.
Pretty
good.
He talked about
your best friend, right?
Yeah.
Much better friend than me.
Whoa! He talked about how he said that the potential lack of fans is obviously good for the offense because you can hard count and you can communicate. But he also thought potentially, and he didn't make this as like a definitive shot, but he said there's a chance that like the juice that the crowd potentially gives for a defensive side of the ball because they have to gear up to hit somebody as opposed to not get hit is potentially something. Have you experienced any positives from the no crowd and the kind of being quiet aside from the obvious being able to communicate with Kirk Cousins and hear exactly what he's saying?
Yeah, no positives, honestly. I think what it is, honestly, is it's an advantage for the away team. Because, you know, most of the time you go into a stadium and it's just crazy. You can't hear the calls barely. It's hard to make checks. You can't hear the snap count, things like that. And now you go into a away stadium and it's like, you know, dead silent. It feels like a practice. You know, you can communicate, do those things. So it's kind of a weird deal. It's almost like flipped the home away, you know, home advantage. So it's definitely interesting.
Before we let you go, and we can't thank you enough for spending time here on this Fast Friday. Is that your logo on your hat right there?
That's right. Yeah, Thielen found it.
That's a dope. Hey, that is a very good logo. As I was looking at it while you were talking, I was like, oh, the AT there. I see it. I like that logo. That's a very good logo. What is the Adam Thielen Foundation?
Yeah, it's we're here to help youth reach their full potential. That's kind of our slogan. We kind of do a wide variety, but really just helping kids that don't have resources, don't have opportunities, giving them those resources, those opportunities. And our big push right now is change through sport. So allowing them to play sports, play at a high level by providing equipment, you know, resources, opportunities, whether that be camps or, you know, being able to help these teams play other teams, things like that. Just allowing these kids, whether it be middle school, high school kids, to be able to play at their highest potential and want to play because they have the right resources. So it's been really cool, and we're excited to continue, you know, helping out.
Hey, you're a sneaky good guy, Adam. Crafty philanthropist, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
How do we help out? What's the website?
Yeah, thielenfoundation.org. So
you can
find out everything we're doing and you know, what's going on with our foundation and what we you know, our fundraising events, things like that. So appreciate you supporting.
No problem. I'm going to buy one of those hats for sure. And that's I before E rule there in the Thielen name. Thielen.
I before E except after C. Mm-hmm.
Which that's kind of bullshit, though, I do believe.
There's a couple words. With names, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, which is the only time it really pops up, so it's kind of a lie. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, a man who's a stud for the Minnesota Vikings, ladies and gentlemen, from the Adam Thielen Foundation, Adam Thielen. So sorry for interrupting. Just want to let you know that when you're having sex, okay, do you think to yourself, This sex should be going longer.
Yeah.
When you're, you do, Ty?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, for the situation, yeah, a lot of people do.
You were just answering and making people think who potentially thought that, like, hey, you're not alone.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of people out there.
Everybody wants to put on a show in a sack, but some people just don't have the ability to do so.
Mm-mm.
So a men's health company came along named Roman and said, excuse me, let us help you out with said problem. They created something called Roman Swipes. They come in discreet packages that show up at your house. Normally, two-day delivery. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Normally, two-day delivery. So right now, you won't be able to get it until Monday because it is Feel Good Friday. But next week, if you were to partake in fornication, it could be the greatest fornication that you've ever had in your life, because these Roman Swipes that show up in discreet packages, nobody knows that you have them. And they're small enough, they fit in your back pocket, your wallet. Nobody will know that you have them on you. Right before it's time to practice love making with somebody, you go into the bathroom, you go ahead and rub the swipes on. They will dry quickly, mm-hmm. and they will not transfer to your partner. So nobody knows that you have a secret tag team partner on top of your baby maker to make you have the longest, greatest fornication session you've ever had in your entire life.
Yeah.
That's what Roman does. Roman not only has these swipes that make you better in the sack and make you put on a show, which is always a good time, Roman also has hair product, skin product, everything you could possibly need to be the best male you've ever wanted to be in your entire life in all facets. And right now, you go to GetRoman.com/Pat. You'll get $15 off your first order and free two-day shipping. So by Monday or Tuesday, you could have longer, better sex, longer, better hair, and better skin, and everything else that they have going on at Roman, the premier men's health brand. Once again, that's GetRoman.com/Pat. $15 off your first order and free two-day shipping. Become the best you possible in this year where nobody thinks it's possible at GetRoman.com/Pat. I'm so thankful for Roman, making everybody feel better, look better, and do better. That's what it's all about. Back to the show. We're being joined now by a man who only has a few minutes, so let's get right into this thing. From the NFL Network, an insider, a man who dunked on Boston Connor on his last appearance. He looks like he's 12, but has the knowledge of a 90-year-old man. The young, the handsome, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pelissero.
Hey, thank you, boys.
Attaboy, Tom. How you doing, pal?
Fantastic.
Last night showed a little bit of Tom Brady maybe not being the perfect quarterback that everybody has always thought that he was. What are you hearing out of Tampa Bay this morning? Is he going to cut and fire everybody over there, Tom?
Well, it's interesting listening to Bruce Arians try to explain the unexplainable, which is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, one of the best players of his era, and a guy who certainly, for whatever physically Tom Brady may have lost at this stage in his career, mentally has remained far ahead of everybody, not knowing what down it was at the end of the game. I mean, it's not as if there's a lot of, as you look at the photo, I mean, there's, you want to talk about a meme instantly. That's one of about five that Brady created last night. I don't sense that there's any kind of a panic or an overreaction to it. It's just kind of a very unusual situation that you run into at the end of a game, where I would think the more concerning thing for Bruce Arians and the Bucks really coming out of it would be what happened to the offense as a whole after the first couple of drives when they were putting points on the board.
Great question there, Tom. And you can listen to Tom Pelissero on Sirius XM NFL Radio and see his handsome face on NFL Network. Tom, the only thing we want to know about, and I assume your life is consumed about, is COVID-19, games being moved. At what point do you think the NFL just adds a week at the end of the season or two to make up games? And what do we expect out of this weekend with this Jets situation with the Cardinals game?
Well, with regard to Week 18, that's definitely been discussed. It's a possibility, just depending upon what might happen in the coming weeks here. But it's not as if this is kind of a front burner, like, all right, let's just screw it. Let's shut it down. Let's move games to the end of the year. They don't want to do that in the short term. Certainly, we're looking at the Patriots and the Titans situations, those two games already being moved. You know, the most concerning thing with those, potentially, or I shouldn't say concerning, but the thing that you're going to have to be aware of here is it is quite possible that you are going to have additional positive tests for the Titans and or the Patriots, because the contact tracing data that the NFL has pulled shows that both Stephon Gilmore and some of the Titans players who recently tested positive also had what they consider to be close and high-risk contact with other people on the team. So it's almost expected you're going to have additional positive this weekend. Oh. But let's be clear, that's not necessarily going to cause the NFL to shut it down or to cancel the games. With the Jets situation, really, you know, it's important to understand the procedure that happens here. So my understanding is a player in the normal round of daily testing, his PCR test came back positive. What happens when you get a positive test from the previous day? Three things. They rerun the original sample, they do a point-of-care test with rapid results, and they do a new PCR test. Well, there was a discrepancy between the PCR rerun and the point-of-care test, so the new PCR test is basically the tiebreaker. And now what happens is they send that to a lab, which happens to be in New Jersey, so it's very close. Ugh. It's possible that this ends up getting confirmed today, and there's a Jets player who's positive, and the abundance of caution that they showed by having everybody go home today would be justified. If it's shown to be a false positive, then guess what? The player and the Jets could be back in the building later today and resuming practice. The NFL has not, to this point, shut down games because of one positive test. They did delay the Chiefs game last week against the Patriots because Cam Newton had had a lot of close contacts that were concerning. But then as they further explored the data, they realized that not a lot of it was high risk. They explored the video, surveillance video from inside the Patriots facility. They saw people wearing masks, wearing contact tracers, Cam and everybody who was around him. They felt comfortable going forward with the game. But, you know, there's also those contact tracers come off when you're outside the building, and you're not necessarily having people going around telling you to put on your mask when you're outside the building, all of which led to Stephon Gilmore has his positive test. A defensive tackle on the practice squad named Bill Murray also tested positive. This is one of only two cases here where you have a concern about multiple positive tests in the same time frame with one team that we've had since the season began. So the NFL is reviewing both the Titans and Patriots situations. But as of now, even if you do have an additional positive case or two that emerged this weekend for one of those teams, fully expect that the Patriots will be playing on Monday afternoon and the Titans will be playing on Tuesday night.
William Murray needs to figure it out on that practice.
Seriously.
We need him to take it easy there. Titans Bills will play on Tuesday night. So now we have two Monday night football games, a Tuesday night game, but we no longer have a Thursday night game between Bills and Chiefs because of what happened with Titans. There was a conversation about that game potentially being Saturday night. Now it's been moved to Sunday. Why do we not have a Saturday night NFL game? Let's go ahead and pull the trigger on that one, Tom. Maybe run that up the pole or the ladder over there in your NFL Network basement that you have.
Well, the NFL has had kind of a standing agreement with colleges and high schools that they'll stay off a Friday and Saturday. It's not necessarily a hard and fast rule in every case, but
good for football.
They've kind of stayed away from playing that, which is why there's always Saturday games on NFL Network in December when you have that break between the conference title games and the college football playoff. So in general, they've stayed away from that. You also can understand if, you know, Alabama's playing on a Saturday night, you may not get as good a ratings as you otherwise would have for a Chiefs game.
It's Bama-Georgia, by the way, which is a rather large game happening on Saturday.
So why would you want to go up against that rather than simply manipulating and moving games around in the Sunday window?
Because I would like to bounce back and forth between Bama-Georgia and Bills Chiefs. Is there anything? Is there something wrong with the Monday Night Wars, Tom? You ever heard about that? Maybe we make a little. You don't like, but I understand the NFL looking out for football as a whole. That is probably.
Well, even look back to last week where you had a Monday Night doubleheader, but the first game between the Chiefs and Patriots overlapped the Packers Falcons game. What happened this week? Well, all of a sudden you have a doubleheader where those games are spaced out. You're taking up more of the window. You know, they're learning. Every one of these situations is new, not just with COVID-19, but the actual, you know, bottom line aspects of the situations this creates. How do they get the most football on TV in the best windows possible while also doing it in a responsible manner from a health and safety perspective? That's really kind of the framework and the context of this. And every player, listen, and Pat, you've been in that position. You have to take the responsibility in these spots to do everything you can to prevent the spread.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you think about the disease, and we can have certainly intellectual debates about mortality rates and all this type of stuff. If you want to continue to collecting a paycheck as an NFL player, you have to protect the team.
Yeah.
I mean, if games go away, if the season gets canceled, you stop getting paid. And on top of that, there would be a billion-dollar-plus revenue impact that would impact salary caps for years to come. I mean, there's a lot at stake.
Very suit in league of you to only put blame on players there.
No, listen.
Where No.
You listen, Tom.
This is what you just said.
You listen.
You players need to take this upon yourself.
NFL, Pat, on Monday, and you can go back. I reported this last Sunday. The NFL on Monday had a conference call with GMs and head coaches where I'm not going to say that they had the riot act read to them, but it was made clear in no uncertain terms. If we get positive cases, it is not the protocols that is failing. It is the people that are failing. Well, everybody's got responsibility here. Well, nobody can get complacent. Everybody has to try to do the right thing if we want to actually finish the season.
What day did you say that? Monday?
I said it on Sunday. The call was Monday.
Well, here's the goddamn Friday, and you already forgot about that. You just put all the blame on the players. What is that? Five? This is a feel-good Friday, and you're just like, hey, the players
it's
need
to. It's been a long damn week, Pat.
Oh. So with that being said, they had the riot act read to them. What's going to happen with the Titans?
That's a great question. That review is ongoing. I can tell you that they have pulled surveillance video. They have conducted interviews. They have been looking into multiple instances involving different position groups holding unauthorized offsite workouts, which, you know, would potentially help explain why, you know, 2 weeks or a week and a half after the facility was shut down, you still had new positive cases coming out over the past couple of days. Those are the things that they have to look into here. It is complicated, but they're pulling a lot of stuff. You know, initially it seemed like the review was going to be wrapped up at the start of this week. It's obviously now Friday. That has not yet taken place. But if violations of protocols are found, and with the player workouts, it certainly seems like you have evidence of that, you can expect discipline and potentially harsh discipline.
I know you only have like a minute or two left. I hope the NFL investigates those pedo bars around Nashville as well. Connor, what do you got?
Mr. Pelissero, if Cam is playing on Sunday, when do you think we can hear that he's actually playing?
Connor.
What's up, Tim?
You would expect to hear that close to game time. I mean, the thing we don't know with Cam Newton, because I know that it's been reported he was asymptomatic. Symptoms can develop later with COVID-19. And depending whether or not you have symptoms, that impacts the treatment protocols in terms of what all needs to take place, who needs to clear you, the passing of tests, and all those things. If it's strictly he is asymptomatic, he's got to pass two PCR tests, 24 hours apart. That is really kind of the baseline for him being able to get back. The question just becomes, if he was first testing positive last Friday, how quickly could he get those two negative tests? Yeah. That's really what it boils down to. That could certainly, it is within the medical realm, and I don't have my MD on me, but it's certainly within the realm, as I understand it, that you could have somebody testing negative twice, but you're still talking about within 10 days of first testing positive. So it's going to be a tight timeline, certainly, for this week, even with the game kicked back to Monday.
All right, Tim, we appreciate you, buddy. I know you got a busy day. It's been a long week. Have a great one. Your teeth look unbelievable.
Wow.
Everybody keeps – I keep getting texts about my teeth. I think it's these lights in here. They just bounce off, or maybe it's the makeup that I haven't quite dulled down to my winter tone.
Well, you look, by the way, keep the summer tone going. It's quarantine time, baby. You do what you got to do. You look like you do. You put one of those things that the Instagram influencers put on. It's like a tanning.
The blue light?
Yeah, it's like a tanning bed for your teeth, and you pop out on the other side. You look really good. Ladies and gentlemen.
If somebody's watching it, I'm available.
Ooh, don't sound so desperate, Tim. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pelissero.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. I've had a couple encounters with refs, by the way. Those replacement refs, they and I had a couple moments because this came up last night. They had a QB ball in on fourth down instead of a K ball because they panicked, forgot that they were supposed to get a K ball in until there was like 13 seconds left on the play clock. And Overton was holding the ball and looks back at me and he goes, this is a QB ball. So I go, hey, bud, we got to get a K ball in there. And they go, we don't have time. I was like, just reset the play clock. Hey, bud, no big deal. Just reset the play clock. And they just stopped talking to me, put the whistle in their mouth. And I'm like, you don't even know that you just fucked me probably out of 8 to 9 yards here.
Yeah.
And you don't even have a clue. And the difference between a K ball and a Q ball, QB ball, by the way, it all came to be, I believe it was Minnesota Vikings punter or kicker from West Virginia. I forget who it was back in the day. Anyways, some guy, some punter and kicker, they would beat up a ball so much, and they were all in the same, they were just game balls, basically. QB ball, kicker balls, punter balls, they were all the same. So the quarterbacks would put a bunch together, and then the kickers would put a bunch together, and that's back whenever you hear the stories of them, like, getting the balls drenched and then putting them in a dryer, and blah, 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 and these balls would be as big as, like, a rugby ball, and they would be massive. That's why every stat that you hear from a certain couple of years when they learned how to game the ball is very interesting when it comes to kickers and punters, because these balls were just basically balloons sent to go. Ooh. Allegedly, one game, in a primetime game, one of the massively beat up balls that was meant for the kickers got tossed in as a quarterback ball. Quarterback, I think it was Brett Favre, ball slipped out of hand, threw pick six or something like Ooh. That, loses game. Brett Favre gets very pissed off. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure if it was Brett Favre gets very pissed off. Next year, there's a K-ball rule now. So now the quarterbacks are allowed to bring in their own balls. Like, you're allowed to work with them through the week, do whatever you want to do with them. It doesn't matter. I mean, granted, there's probably some guys that like it a little bit softer, maybe.
Oh, some guys like it a little more inflated.
Some
as well.
Like them a little bit more inflated. Some people like them a little bit more beat up. Some like them new and tacky. So the quarterbacks are like, hey, whatever, you bring your own balls in. And I'd sat in on a meeting where our equipment managers and Matt Hasselbeck went through this 100 balls, and I think he had to pick like 15 for the game or whatever. And the equipment managers would toss it to Hasselbeck. Hasselbeck would take the ball and act as if this is it. And he would go, he'd take the ball, he'd catch it, and he'd go, okay. And he'd move his thumb like this to see if it was good. Then he would flip the ball and he'd move his thumb. Then he'd flip it again, and then he'd do it again. And then he would throw it yes or no thing, right? And it was kind of intriguing. And I just so happened to be like held hostage in this thing. He wins. So the next week, I'm just hanging out. Hasselbeck goes, hey, need you in the game ball thing. And I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, you were in last week, right? I was like, yeah. He was like, we won. So let's go. And this is like a 30-minute process. Like, this is so – I said, we went on like a 5-game win streak. So for 5 games, I'm in this thing, and I'm learning about the entire process, right? And I'm like looking at balls before he gets them, and I'm like, I think this one's going to be good. He's like, it was good. Good call. And then I was like, oh, I think this one's bad. And he was like, no, it's good. Probably our best ball, actually. I'm like, I don't have it yet. So I sat in those meetings. That was the first time I'd ever been a part of that. It was kind of cool to see that whole thing come about, because K-balls, at one point – immediately after that flub of the ball being too fat and throwing the pick in prime time and it changing, they would take them straight out of the box. Nobody was allowed to touch them, and then they were just put into the game. Jeez. So kickers, you're not allowed to do anything to the football, and guys were not happy. I mean, because a brand new football is basically rock hard. So guys, averages went down. You're talking about kicks being missed back in the day that you didn't expect. And I think that was back when the kickoff was at the 32. So you had kickoffs laying at like the 15, the 10. Like, and guys were like, this is just a nightmare, let alone when it's cold, a brand new ball, which is rock hard, and it's cold. It almost becomes like a like one of those chocolate shelled ice creams where, you know, it's hard on the outside, but if you break the shell, it's very soft. So those brand new, like an eclair, those brand new balls, when they get cold, that's exactly what they are. It's like a frozen outside, but the part that you really want to penetrate on the inside is super soft. So because it's cold, so it loses air. So it's like it was basically a nightmare for kickers. So the kickers and punters bitch or whatever, they run up the thing, and then they instituted a K-ball rule. And the new K-ball rule is basically there's 7 balls. Equipment managers from both teams get 30 minutes with the balls before the game while being watched by an NFL official. Okay, so for instance, we have a guy, equipment manager, he's the man, named Frog, legendary dude, and he took a lot of pride in his work. He would go in there for 30 minutes with the other equipment manager that the other team would send in there, and he would have a brush. You're only allowed a brush. I think you're allowed a bottle of water, and you have 30 minutes, okay? So he would come out, by the way, dripping in sweat, dripping in sweat. The other equipment manager, dripping in sweat. And every single Christmas, Vinatieri and I would have a very large gift to this man's house because he helped us out a lot. Yeah. And there'd be some teams where their equipment manager wouldn't buy in as much for the 30 minutes. So Frog would basically just be like, I'll get the first two, because then after that, the game balls would be numbered 1 through 7. And you're only going to rotate probably the first 3 balls. One ball is the game ball, but there's a chance that it either gets lost, house, punt return goes, anything like that. So then you have numbers 1, 2, 3. And I don't think I've ever seen ball 4 in the game unless it was Walt Anderson in fucking England. Oh. And that guy just screwed me over there. But that's the entire process. So whenever last night they had a K-ball in, they had to get the K-ball out. That K-ball is very different than a quarterback ball. And the quarterback ball has been worked all week and brought to the game by the team. The K-ball was only brought out of a box like 45 minutes before the game started, and the equipment managers only had 30 minutes with it. But there were some places where we talked to the kicker and punter, like going into the game, and they're like, our guy's bad or whatever. We're like, okay, tell your guy that our guy, good.
Legit.
Like, hey, let our guy go to work. But back in the day, there was a little gamesmanship from people where they would somehow talk the ball boy into throwing ball 5 out there if it was like a late, like late game winner or something like that. I do believe there's a chance that the guy who got yelled at by Peyton Manning had somebody do that one time. And had somebody like toss out ball 6 for a game winner. Yeah, so it was, there's a little gamesmanship in that, but I think we're at the point now where everybody's like 1 through 3. So when everybody was talking about like the K-ball, what is that? What is this? Is this like another Deflategate thing? It's like, no, it's actually the complete opposite. Because, and that's why when the Deflategate thing happened, people are asking me like, what is the ball soft or whatever? It's like, I have no fucking idea. Dude, I don't touch. I'm only with the K-balls, dog. Yeah. And I will tell you, in the past, I had heard that there was some things with the K-balls up there in New England, but not Goskowski. Goskowski and Vinatieri, we have a lot of respect. But I guess way back, there was potentially a little bit of games.
So you and Vinny then use the same K-balls, and do punters and kickers like the same type of ball?
Yes. Okay. Everybody likes the same ball. Just get that thing beat up. I think I tweeted the other day that when you're a kicker, there's a couple rules or whatever. And one of them was a beat up ball is awesome. Like you can see if like at the combine, they give guys brand new balls. Mm-hmm. I was not invited to the combine, but I'll tell you what, if I was invited to the combine, like maybe year 5 going into that thing, and they tossed me that ball, I would say, yeah, I would never fucking kick this. I'm not going to do the rep, but the young guys can't say that or whatever, but it is a very big thing. Matt Stover, whenever he came to the Colts, he liked brand new balls. He was like, I want to make it as hard as I can in practice. I want it to be easy in a game, you know. I want to kick into the wind. And I was like, not me, dog. Like,
no thanks.
I want to see the ball go in the hoop. Like, I want to see, I would like the most beat up ball possible, actually. Yeah. I want to see this thing fly. I want the cork to bat and be, I want this ball flying. And by the way, I understand there's a chance we're going to kick into the wind and we do have to work on that. But let's take a majority with the wind so that I can be like, hey, I'm kicking the ball further than any human on earth. Mm-hmm. That's how I am. Matt Silver was like, well, that's not the way I do it or whatever. So we had two very different opinions on that. And I know there's a lot of kickers that do. I'm always a, hey, let's succeed and have a great motherfucking time type guy. And I loved Frog for that. I mean, amongst other things, the equipment managers are awesome. But him coming out just sweating. Like, for instance, there was a year where me and Vinny were Pro Bowl. We were going to the Pro Bowl, right? But we had like 3 weeks left. So Vinny couldn't miss any, and I had to keep balling. And you could tell, like, when Frog went in there and came out, he was like, hey, we're going to make Pro Bowl this year. He's like, yeah, we are. Hey, yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Can't thank you enough for rocking with us this week. All of our guests, just the fact that they take time to talk to us is ridiculous, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
But the fact that they say the things that they do, so grateful for. And the fact that you people take time out of your days to allow us to spend some time with you and put us into your daily routine, your daily schedule, we can't thank you enough. This podcast is growing, which I would have never guessed because we were used to be 3 times a week. Now we're 5 times a week, and it's continuing to grow and grow and grow. And we are so, so, so thankful. Be a friend, tell a friend if you enjoyed the show. If you didn't enjoy the show, act like it never happened. Have the greatest weekend of your entire life. We cannot wait to get a chance to chat and for you to listen on Monday. And then obviously, right on the other side of that, another Aaron Rodgers Tuesday.
Yes.
Then we just keep it going, keep it going. We're all in this thing together. From all of us to all of you, you're the best. Have a great weekend. Ty Schmidt, please play some independent music that will launch and propel these humans into the greatest weekend in the history of 2020. We'll see you on Monday. Cheers.
Ooh-wee. Hey, Twan, you a fool for this one. Yeah. And this your man, Uncle Sam. I'm in my zone every day, every night, every night. Another couple shots about to get me right. You know it. Surrounded by the ones that get me through it all. Only thing we need more of is alcohol. Hey, I'm getting lit. Hey, you getting lit. Hey, who's getting lit? Hey, we getting lit. me posted up, drinking out the bottle. It ain't even sexual when I tell your girl to swallow. Push your hate aside, celebrate your life. Don't you slay my vibe, cause we about to raise the knife. I'm talking good vibes, good times, fun, love. Drink this, drink that, all night, sun's up. This ain't that two-step group dance, same music. This be that forget my name, spraying champagne music. Break it down, cause we just getting started. Fill it up, raise a cup, welcome to the party. Top, bottom, top, that's how we hit the toast. 6-400 spokes, yeah, that's what I call the goat. People talking down, put the index to the lips. It falls on deaf ears when you flexing on the kid. Music won't stop, I see your anger ain't a danger. When it comes to Sam and Twine, we got bankers in the chamber. I'm in my zone every day, every night. Another couple shots about to get me right. Surrounded by the ones that get me through it all. Only thing we need more of is alcohol. Ay, I'm getting lit. Ay, you getting lit. Ay, who's getting lit? Ay, we getting lit. Ay, I'm getting lit. Ay, you getting lit. Ay, who's getting lit? Ay, we getting lit. Started on beast mode, now I'm on feast mode. Beast hitting numbers like them seniors in casinos. Go for them pre-rolls, you think it's weed smoke. I don't know what round me on me cause my speech slow. We gon' laugh loud, but we lash out. And when I kill the bottle, that's when I black out. Ain't trying to pass out, I need to cash out. Trying to find some smother cover top ash brown. Shout out ETL, you know what's going down. Pop a top, do a shot or you can blow an ounce. We trying to lift the mood, make sure it ain't lower. That's why when we celebrate, we hardly ever sober. Wouldn't trade it for the world, that's just how I feel. When you hear them drunken thoughts, then you know it's real. We ain't turning down, we only turning up. I told y'all it was real, but I don't think you heard enough. I'm in my zone every day, every night. Another couple shots about to get me right. Surrounded by the ones that get me through it all. Only thing we need more of is alcohol. Ay, I'm getting lit. Ay, you getting lit. Ay, who's getting lit? Ay, we getting lit. Ay, I'm getting lit. Ay, you getting lit. Ay, who's getting lit? Ay, we getting lit.
Yes, sir. If you know, you know. And if you don't, you slow. It's all good, though. Just having time of our lives. It's your man, Uncle Sam. And my homie Twine, we out.